At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Hey, warm up, people! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you. Joining me in segment number two is Matt Joseph. So you know him better as Mid-Major Matt. He does a tremendous job taking a look on so many different fronts, college football, college basketball, and the prop market in baseball. We're going to be talking about what he's noticed through the first 3 weeks of the season. We've got a very short five-game slate, so we're going to take a look at that in pretty good depth. And then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on all five games as we touch them all. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/XSimeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, other than, do I take a look at these bullpens and their use, and does that impact my handicap? And I've been asked this by a few guys, and absolutely it does. Like, the big reason why in these recaps I mention all the bullpen pieces that get used is, for one, so that way you guys know who all went the previous day, and for two, it's a way so that way I know who's all been used up as well. I pay attention to if a guy is coming off of a back-to-back, if a guy is, like Kendall Graveman was a great example of this, if he pitched one day, you would not find him in really a lot of back-to-back spots as well. So those are the sorts of things I do try to keep aware of, and if a guy doesn't go the previous day, that means that he's probably going to be going the next day as well. These teams, they do have a little bit of a rotation with regards to bullpen pieces. Now, sometimes they just throw at you a big giant surprise, like the Toronto Blue Jays. It felt like they had a relatively good bullpen sort of rotation going into Wednesday, and they decided to use none of their bigger guys, and I have no idea why, but you can only do your best with regards to deciphering who is rested and who is not, and sometimes teams will just throw at you a little bit of a curveball, but it is certainly something that I do dive in on, and it's certainly something that I pay attention to. It's a big reason why I relay it to you on the show as well. So hopefully that clears that up. Now, let's take a look back at everything that we did see in baseball on Wednesday. Try to find the trends and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
The White Sox got win number 3 of the season. It took them 2 games on Wednesday to be able to get that, as the first game did not go their way. The Royals, they got the job done by a count of 4-2, as Brady Singer, he was not necessarily having the White Sox singing the blues, but he wasn't either. 2 runs were entered in 5 innings. Home start as he gives up a home run to Paul DeJong, 3rd home run season, but from there the bullpen was pretty solid. John Schreiber, James MacArthur, Nick Anderson, Will Smith all end a scoreless inning, and had a pair of bombs from the Kansas City Royals as Salvador Perez goes deep off of Michael Kubek, his 5th home run season, and Hunter Renfroe off of Dominique own, his second home run of the season. As for the White Sox, you had a nice debut start for the Cannon and Jonathan Cannon, giving up one run in five innings. From there, Joey Leisure, Stephen Wilson, they both supply a squirrel saying, but then Kopech gives up two runs in an inning, including that home run, and Dominic Leon gives up the home run to Renfro to cost his team the game. And then in game number two, the White Sox rise up. They get a 2-1 win against the Kansas City Royals. As for Michael Wacha, not a bad start here. Gives up two runs over the course of six innings, does allow a home run to Gavin Sheets, third home run season, and then from there, you had a pair of scoreless innings combined from NL Zerpa along with Chris Stratton, but for the Royals, nothing doing on offense, as it was a nice start from Eric Fetty Wap, 5 2/3 innings scoreless. From there, Davey Garcia, 2 scoreless innings. Tanner Banks, 1 1/3 innings scoreless. So congratulations to the White Sox on win number 3 of the season, and the Southsiders, 6 overs, 11 unders, and a push for the Kansas City Royals, by the way. They have played 6 overs, 12 unders, and a push as well. Two of your top under teams in all baseball, and the Seattle Mariners, also one of your top under teams in baseball, and they played another one on Wednesday as well. 5-1, the Seattle Mariners get the job done against the Reds. As for the Reds, Andrew Abbott does give up a pair of solo home runs in six innings going deep. Mitch Garver is first home run as a Seattle Mariner, and then Cal Raleigh is third. Meanwhile, you would have a home run a little bit later on from Josh Rojas. He goes deep off of Lucas Sims. It's first of the campaign, as Sims gives up 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning before Alexis Diaz gets far outside the bullpen scoreless. But lone form of offense for the Reds, you had Ellie De La Cruz get his 5th home run season off of Bryce Miller. Miller was great in this game, though. Gives up that solo home run. That's the only hit he would allow in 6 innings before Trent Thornton and Austin Voth, Gabe Spire from there, all lend a scoreless inning. So solid showing from the Seattle Mariners. They're now on a 3-game win streak, and the Atlanta Braves in 10 innings, they find a way to be able to get it done against the Houston Astros, who are now 6-14 thus far this season. That's by a count of 5-4, and this was a closing total of 9.5. So the Atlanta Braves, who have been one of your top over teams at all of baseball, they play a rare under. As for the Atlanta Braves, they didn't necessarily get the world's greatest start for Max Fried, giving up 3 runs over the course of 5 innings, including a home run going deep for Houston. You had Jordan Alvarez get his 5th home run in the campaign, and Mauricio Dubon off of Jesse Chavez, he gets his first home run season for Chavez. He allows that solo home run in his inning of work, but A.J. Minter, Joey Jimenez combined for 2 scoreless innings, and then Rossy Iglesias, Pierce Johnson, they both give you a scoreless inning apiece. And for Atlanta, pair of home runs in this one off of J.P. France. Ronald Acuna Jr., just his first home run of the season. He's been moving the line, but that was just his first home run in the campaign. And Marcell Ozuna, his 8th. That's the most out there in the National League. As for France, he allows those 2 home runs, but that's all he allowed in 5 innings. So not too bad there. Ryan Presley, though, he gives up 2 runs, one of which was earned in his inning of work. Rafael Montero, Josh Hader, Brian Abreu, they all lend a scoreless inning, but all go 15-plus pitches. And for Seth Martinez, gives up the unearned run in the 10th inning. That costs his team the game. For the Pittsburgh Pirates, does seem as though their offense is starting to cool down a little bit as well. They fall to the New York Metropolitans by a count of 9-1, and for the Pirates, they have now scored 3 runs or fewer in 4 of their last 5 games, and they did not get the start that they had desired in this one, as Bailey Falter, he gives up 2 runs over the course of 5 innings. While it's not the start that they desired, not too bad, and then the bullpen just completely lit this game on fire. David Benar, 3 runs surrendered in 2/3 of an inning. Hunter Stratton, he gives up 4 runs in an inning, as Falter and Stratton both allowed home runs in this one for the Mets. You had Starling Marte go deep off of Falter, 3rd home run season, and Harrison Bader, his 1st off of Stratton, and Luis Severino starting to look relatively solid right now. 1 unearned run surrendered in 6 innings before Ore Lopez, Garrett Hartwig, along Jake Diekman, all supply a scoreless inning. As for the Pittsburgh Pirates, 1 of 6 with men in scoring position. That does not compare to our DK and our Gorita pick team, though, in the Arizona Diamondbacks, who went 1 of 11 with men in scoring position in the first 6 innings, and that costed them this one. 5-3, the Cubs are able to get it done. Jordan Wicks was not long for this game. Gives up 2 runs over the course of 4 1/3 innings. He did allow a home run to the Marte Parte of Ketel Marte, his 5th home run season. Then, when it was too little, too late, Jock Peterson goes deep off of Drew Smyly for his 2nd home run season, as Smyly got the final 2 outs of the game, giving up that solo home run. But Hayden Wesneski out of the bullpen, 4 scoreless, so a piggyback effort for the Cubs. And for the Cubs, they go 3 of 6 with men in scoring position, with Cody Bellinger going deep off of Brandon Pfaadt, his 3rd home run season for Pfaadt. A little bit of a rough one for him. He's a tough luck loser, giving up 3 runs, but only 2 of which were earned in 7 innings. There were a trio of errors out there in the field for Arizona that did not help out his cause. Joe Mantiply from there gives up 2 runs in a 3rd of an inning, and then you did have a nice debut. 5 outs out of the bullpen scoreless from Justin Martinez. So Diamondbacks unable to patchwork that one, and Taking a look at the top over team in all of baseball, this is about as much of an under as it gets. 1-0, the Brewers get it done against the San Diego Padres. Brewers 12 overs, 5 unders thus far this season. And for San Diego, Michael King, well, he looked like a king in this one. He punched out 10, gave up 1 run in 7 2/3 innings, but problem was his offense generated nothing as Wandy Peralta, he got out of the bullpen scoreless, as well as for the Brewers. They generated in this one just 3 hits, but they find a way to be able to piecemeal things together with their pitching as Brian Hudson, along with Bryce Wilson, they did a nice job combining for 6 scoreless innings, and then Ebner Uribe, Joel Piamps, Elvis Piguero, they all end a scoreless inning. So the Brewers, now 11-6, and they find a way to be able to win that one. Another one of your top over teams in the Baltimore Orioles, they played a little bit of a lower scoring game on Wednesday as well. They take down the Minnesota Twins by a count of 4-2. The Orioles now 11 overs, 5 unders, and 2 pushes thus far this season. And for Pablo Lopez, it was a good start. He gives up a solo home run over the course of 6 innings as going deep off of him. Gunnar Henderson, his 6th home run season. Anthony Santander, though, he would go deep off of Stephen Oakert for his 4th home run season. Then a walk-off 2-run shot to be able to cover the run line from Cedric Mullins, his 5th home run season. That comes off of Griffin Jacks, who he gets jacked up, giving up 2 runs in a 3rd of an inning. Oakert gave up his solo home run while getting 2 outs out of the bullpen. And Brock Stewart, he was able to give you 1 1/3 inning scoreless. Meanwhile, for Baltimore, they had to throw out there a old guy, old 34-year-old Albert Suarez, 5 2/3 innings scoreless. Just an absolutely tremendous performance, and I mean, that's just tremendously bad if you're the Minnesota Twins. Junior Cano, Craig Kimbrell, they both landed a scoreless inning. Well, Keegan Aiken got out of the bullpen scoreless, and Danny Colum, Jacob Webb, they combined for an inning. They did allow a run along the way. Allowing quite a few runs was the Toronto Blue Jays bullpen. They fall to the New York Yankees, this by a count of 6-4. As for the Yankees, Marcus Stroman, 2 runs surrendered in 5 1/3 innings, including a home run as Dalton Varsho went deep twice in this one. 3rd home run in the campaign comes off of Stroman. 4th comes off of Caleb Ferguson, as Ferguson does allow 2 runs in an inning, but Ian Hamilton, Victor Gonzalez, they combine for 5 outs of the bullpen scoreless. Clay Holmes, a scoreless inning to be able to pick up the save, and for the New York Yankees, they entered into this one down by a count of 4-1 entering the 8th, 2-4 going into the 9th, but you had yourself a pair of big-time home runs from Giancarlo Stanton and Juan Soto. For Soto, his 4th home run in the campaign, that comes off of Edward Cabrera. That comes off of Genesis Cabrera, and then Eric Swanson is back in the fold, and he gives up a home run to Giancarlo Stanton. His 5th home run season for Swanson. He gives up 3 runs in a 3rd of an inning. Genesis Cabrera, he gives up that solo home run in his 2 innings of work. And Tim Mesa, he allowed a run in an inning, as well as Trevor Richards. He was able to supply a scoreless inning, but the Blue Jays also 0-8 with men in scoring position. That's a little bit less than terrific. What is terrific, though, is if you took post prices on the Washington Nationals in the series against the Dodgers. They take 2 of 3, and they shut out the Dodgers 2-0, the final for Washington. You had Jake Irvin be able to supply 6 scoreless innings. From there, Hunter Harvey, Robert Garcia combined for 2 scoreless innings, and then Kyle Finnegan, scoreless inning. Meanwhile, for the Washington Nationals, C.J. Abrams, main form of offense, he was able to get a home run number 5 of the season off of the young gun starter and Landon Knack, who he wasn't bad in this one. Allows that home run, but 2 runs a total of course of 5 innings. Michael Grove completes 3 scoreless. Alex Vesia gives you a scoreless inning as well, but hard to win a game where your team scores 0 runs, and you did not see a lot of scoring in this one from the Cleveland Guardians either. As a matter of fact, it was a goose egg, 2-0. The Boston Red Sox, they find a way to get it done. It's Ben Lively, not a bad start. He gives up 2 runs in 5 innings, including a home run to Connor Wong, his 3rd home run of the campaign, and that's all that Tanner Houck would need. Complete game, 9 punch-outs, gives up just 3 hits along the way as Cleveland, they could get absolutely nothing going whatsoever. And also for Cleveland, you'd have Nick Sandlin give you a scoreless inning, and Wes Parsons, the Parsons experiment, 2 scoreless innings, but absolutely nothing doing here for the Guardians. And if you had the Phillies run line, well, nothing doing for you here as the Colorado Rockies score 5 runs in the 8th inning to toast this one for you. This was just absolutely brutal. Phillies get up by a count of 7-1, and they don't cover the run line. 7-6, they manage to win outright, and that's always brutal. I don't know about you, but if I lay a run and a half on the run line, and I did so with the Philadelphia Phillies, so I'm one of the people I took this loss as well, I would either want them to win by multiple runs or lose outright. The last thing I want is for them to win by 1 run, as Ryan Feltner got destroyed, giving up 6 runs in 5 1/3 innings, including a pair of home runs.
Kyle Schwarber took him deep for his fourth home run season, and Trey Turner down for what? His second, and Schwarber will a little bit later go deep off of Peter Lambert for his fifth home run season. Lambert gives up that solo home run in 1 2/3 innings, and Justin Lawrence a scoreless inning. But for the Colorado Rockies, they do all this while going just 2 of 10 with men in scoring position, as Christopher Sanchez gives up an unearned run while getting 10 strikeouts in 6 innings was tremendous. Junior Marte, scoreless inning, and Gregory Soto has really been the main constant in this Phillies bullpen. Gives up 5 runs in a 1/3 of an inning. Jeff Hoffman from there gives you a pair of outs out of the bullpen, and Jose Alvarado able to stem the tide with a scoreless inning, but that was not great to say the least. What is, though, is the Oakland A's as an underdog. 10-1 on the run line are the A's as a +1.5 underdog in their last 11 as an underdog, and they went all right against the St. Louis Cardinals. This by a count of 6-3 as Steven Matz got rocked, giving up 5 runs in 5 innings, including a home run to Esteri Ruiz, his second home run of the campaign. From there, you did have Ryan Fernandez give up a run in an inning, and Matthew Liberatore, Giovanni Gallegos combined for 2 scoreless innings, but Oakland had themselves a nice day out there in the bullpen. They're a top 5 team right now in terms of bullpen ERA. Lucas Hershey, Austin Adams, Mason Miller, they all lend a scoreless inning. TJ McFarland and out of the bullpen. And for Paul Blackburn, not his greatest start. Gives up 3 runs in 5 2/3 innings, but the A's, they do find a way to be able to get the job done, and they're able to get that win, and also able to get a big win as well. How about the LA Angels coming back on the Tampa Bay Rays? 5-4 the final, as the Rays currently have the worst bullpen ERA in the big leagues. It is well north of 6, and that doomed the Rays on this day, as they had Zach Little give them a solid start. Gives up 3 runs over the course of 5 2/3 innings. Did allow a home run to Mike Trout, his 8th of the campaign, tied for the big league lead. From there, you had Chris Savinski giving an out of the bullpen. Sean Armstrong, Kevin Kelly, they both led a scoreless inning, but Pete Fairbanks, he blows this one as he gives up 2 runs over the course of an inning, as Amed Rosario was able to go deep off a runner Strickland for the Rays to be able to build that lead, a second home run the campaign, as Reed Demers was good in this game. 2 runs, one of which was earned, given up in 5 1/3 innings. From there, Adam Simber, Hunter Strickland, both used for 20-plus pitches. Strickland gives up that home run, 2 runs in total in 2 innings, and Adam Simber, 1 2/3 innings scoreless, but Angels able to rally as Anthony Rendon came up with a big hit along Taylor Ward in the 9th inning. So the Rays, they have been dealing with some issues thus far this season. Now they've got 12 overs to 7 unders thus far this season when the top marks out there in the big leagues to the over. And if you're looking at what we've all gotten thus far this season in Major League Baseball, been more overs than unders. 136 overs to 135 unders with plenty of pushes along the way, but unders are starting to make a little bit of a run, and so are road teams on the money line. Road teams 147 and 132, hitting at north of 52.5%. Favorites overall hitting at 58.7%. If you're laying the juice on the favorites, you've been taking it on the chin, and what we all saw yesterday in baseball was a sort of underdog day. 9-7 were favorites, so getting those plus prices were your friend, and we did see 10 unders to 6 overs in baseball on Wednesday as well. So that's what we're seeing right now on the baseball front end. That's what we all got on Wednesday. Now let's turn it forward to Thursday with our good friend Matt Josephs, better known as Mid-Major Matt, and take a look at what props have been cashing for him thus far this season. We'll do that next right here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Craig Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always great to be joined by this man as Mid-Major Matt does an absolutely tremendous job taking a look at this great game of baseball. He does a little bit of everything over there at FTN Network. He's starting to get involved with some college football, looking at spring games, getting set for that season. He does a tremendous job on the college basketball front. And here when it comes to baseball season, he does great work with regards to props. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X at Mid-Major Matt altogether. And you're able to catch his show Monday through Friday out there if you're in the Richmond area on ESPN Radio Richmond. It's called Border to Border. And Matt, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
I mean, a lot happier, Matt, now that the Sixers moved on and got a victory over the Heat on Thursday night.
Yep, absolutely. And with the 76ers, they move on. And with us in baseball, it's a very, very long season in general. We're only about 3 weeks in. So we are building towards the playoffs. But in the first 3 weeks of what you've been able to gather, just what have been some things that have stood out to you? Maybe it's things that you picked correctly. Maybe it's things that you've been surprised upon. But has there been anything that's really stood out to you the first 3 weeks of the baseball season?
Well, obviously, the Washington Nationals taking a series in L.A. against the Dodgers. That was impressive with one of those games coming against Tyler Glasnow, who was runaway, potentially the NL Cy Young early on in the season. But the Nationals are continuing their contact ways, much like they were last year, a high contact team, a team that has gone under in 12 of their 15 K-props so far this season. So that was certainly interesting. And I feel like we're starting to get enough of a sample size that you could start to at least get some leans and things like that with regards to who's good against lefties, who's bad against lefties, who just strikes out against everybody. A team like Minnesota, who is a very high strikeout team. I think 19, 20 games into the season, we're starting to see some solid trends.
Yep, we certainly are. And it's been interesting to look at that Oakland A's team. The offense has provided absolutely nothing whatsoever, but you know what? That pitching has actually been rock solid as well. And with them, they have been a trend to the positive, in my opinion, if you've been taking a look at their pitching. And have there been any other teams like this where maybe you've been taking a look at them and you thought, man, coming into the year, I didn't think that they'd be this good, but they've actually been rock solid, much like the A's pitching that I was alluding to before.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you this. I mean, I thought that the Phillies were going to get solid pitching from their top two in Wheeler and Nola, but Ranger Suarez has thrown himself into the Cy Young race as well, and Christopher Sanchez looked really good against the Rockies in his last time out, and then Spencer Turnbull. I mean, obviously, so far, it's only been a couple of starts, and things can start to change once they get more video on it, but Spencer Turnbull has been a pretty good five for the Phillies, so I thought that they were going to get one and two pretty solid, but they've had a pretty solid rotation as a whole. And then, you know, the Mets have played a little bit better than I thought. Now, the Mets have had a little bit of an easier schedule, and they get the Dodgers and the Giants coming up on the West Coast on a road trip, so we'll see how good they are. But, you know, the Mets are playing some solid baseball. We'll see if they can continue that through.
Yep, we shall see on that front, as Matt Joseph, better known as Mid-Major Matt, is going to be right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And it is going to be interesting to take a look at that Phillies team moving forward. But the main team from the NL East, that is going to be in action. That'd be the Miami Marlins. And they are not among the list of teams with positive surprises in really any facet possible. And right now they've got AJ Puck, who's going to be going for them on Thursday, going against Jameson Taillon. Right now, the early opening total at Circa is an 8. I'm seeing most places posting a minus 150, minus 155 on this front. And I want to get your thoughts on AJ Puck, because if you've been playing walk props over on him, they've been cashing very, very easily. And that's probably the only thing that he's been able to cash for bettors thus far.
You know, it seems like a good strategy almost in the preseason. You're like, all right, maybe we'll move him over and he'll work out and everything. And it just hasn't worked out very long. And maybe he has pretty good stuff. But as you mentioned, the walks have been a massive issue. And for a guy who is stretched out to probably like 85, 90 pitches, if you're going to use a lot of those to get walks, that means you're not going to last very long. And the Marlins bullpen has been taxed pretty early. You look at some guys like Trevor Rogers, who are only going five and a change innings wise. So if you're going to handicap the Marlins, and if you're going to handicap AJ Puck, you're probably only looking at the first five. And that's probably where you're also looking for Jameson Taillon. So far in his rehab starts, he's only gone 3 2/3 so far his last start. So I'll be interested to see what the K prop number is for Jameson Taillon. I always like to potentially go under on certain guys, especially when it's their first major league action coming off some rehab stints. He had 4 strikeouts in 3 2/3. So maybe it'd be kind of interesting to see what that number is. The Marlins are hit or miss when it comes to contact. Sometimes they've been over, sometimes they've been under, but I'll be interested to see what we get from Jameson Taillon, who may only be solid for 4 innings or so in this one against the Marlins.
Yep. Might be seeing a whole bunch of bullpen use in this one. Puck has yet to be able to complete 5. So even if you're trying to take a look at a first 5, there's no guarantee that you won't need to handicap the bullpens in this one, as well as Matt Joseph's, better known as Ben Major Matt, showing me right here on the Baseball Betting Show. And want to get your thoughts on the Tampa Bay Rays, as with the Tampa Bay Rays, the perception of this team is always being so well-rounded, having so many guys that can come in, give you good innings, but right now they're dead last in the league in terms of bullpen ERA. But Ryan Pepiot has been a strikeout artist for this team. They're playing host to the LA Angels, with Griffin Canning having his frustrations, and the Rays about a minus 150 or so favorite. How do you take a look at a matchup like this with a guy in Pepiot that can be inconsistent, but the swing and miss stuff has been very good thus far this season?
Yeah, 11 strikeouts in Colorado, which 11 against Colorado isn't that great, because everybody's striking out Colorado, it feels like nowadays. But getting 11 strikeouts in Coors Field, now granted, he probably had a little bit of experience at least being there with the Dodgers, and then coming back home and having 6 strikeouts in 5 innings against the Giants. You know, we're getting a Ryan Pepiot who's gone 5, 6, and 5 2/3 innings so far this season. So you're, once again, if you want to handicap him, you're only going to handicap the first 5 innings most likely. I think it's interesting, 3 of the last 4 right-handed starting pitchers against the Angels have had 7 strikeouts or more, including Zach Littell, who has good stuff, but like 7 strikeout stuff, I just don't know if he does. Aaron Civale had 8, and then Brian Bellow had 8 when they took on the Red Sox in Boston on the 14th. So Pepiot is going to be a guy that you probably want to lean towards the over. The other interesting thing when you're handicapping games like this, it's a 1:10 Eastern time start time. The Angels team that has potentially going to put some bench guys in, they are staying on the road, so it's not like they're flying home. They're going to Cincinnati afterwards, but always in these afternoon games, you want to pay attention to lineups, and if there's more backups, then you're probably going to lean more towards the over, especially with a starting pitcher like Pepiot.
And on a day like this, are you more inclined to wait a little bit longer with your bets rather than on, like, say, Tuesday or Wednesday, where it's game 1, game 2 of a series?
Yeah, certainly that's something you want to do. The problem with the strikeout prop market is it moves. It moves a lot, and that's why we always tell people to have a lot of outs, because different books have different numbers, different juices and things like that. And certainly going to your favorite site and going to like a prop shopper type like that, and that gives you the opportunity to watch all the props as they go along. It's one of those things you kind of have to weigh, Greg, whether you want to have the full lineup, but maybe not get the juice you want, or get the juice you want, but not know the whole lineup. So that's kind of the conundrum of the people who pay attention to this market. You know, a couple of afternoon games, all the American League games are in the afternoon. So that's something you certainly want to watch for.
Yep, and it's very situational as well. Just like with betting on spreads, when you've got a questionable player or something like that, do you want to sacrifice like half a point or a point to know whether or not they're going to be in or out, or do you want to take it right away? So I do think that that's always so important to really balance. As joining me on the show, we do have Matt Joseph, better known as Ben Major Matt, joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, and this is going to be an interesting handicap for you. Jack Leiter is going to be making his MLB debut for the Texas Rangers, former number 2 overall pick. I remember when he was at Vanderbilt, this guy was awesome. going up against the Detroit Tigers, with this being a relative pick'em game at a total of 8.5. How do you evaluate a situation like this where Jack Leiter, I mean, he's got a bigger name than most of these guys making their MLB debut, but obviously when it comes to the major league level, he's got absolutely no data on him.
Unfortunately, it feels like there are times where especially the online sports books just say, well, we don't know enough about this guy, so we're not going to put a number up. I assume they're going to put a number up on Jack Leiter, and you look at his 3 minor league starts so far, 9 strikeouts, 6 strikeouts, and 10 strikeouts, and going 5 innings, 6 innings, and 3 and a third inning. So certainly that's something to pay attention to, that he will be stretched out if he pitches pretty well. You always want to look at the weather in an afternoon game, especially in April or so. There could be wind, there could be rain. That's something you also want to pay attention to. And then you kind of want to see, once again, the team that you're going up against. The Detroit Tigers so far this season averaging 5.57 strikeouts per game against right-handed starting pitchers. We just saw Dane Dunning with 5 in that last game. John Gray had 7. Michael Lorenzen had 4. So you kind of want to weigh a couple of different things here, but I expect Jack Leiter to pitch pretty well. You can also look briefly at his spring training numbers, because that was his opportunity to go up against major league talent. And in his last spring training outing against Colorado, there's that team again, he had 5 strikeouts in 2 2/3 innings. Well, that is, by my crude math, as 8 outs, and 5 of them were via the strikeout. So he has good stuff there. I'll be very interested to see if the books put a number up, and I'll be very interested to see what that number is. If it's a 4.5, I might look over. If it's like a 5.5 or a 6.5, seeing his minor league numbers, I might consider an under here, because if he does get touched up, he may not last long in this game because they want to preserve the guy, keep him happy.
Certainly that is going to be a fun one to be able to take a look at. And then when it comes to a game like this one with the Guardians and the Boston Red Sox, right now we don't have a lot of openers up, because with the Red Sox, they themselves didn't know it was going to be opening the game until after their game on Wednesday. And it's going to be Brennan Bernardino, and you have to figure that he's going to be an opener for Cooper Criswell. Is there any sort of position that you'd be willing to take in a game like this Red Sox versus Guardians game, with DraftKings opening this up with a total of 9.5 and Red Sox right around -125?
Well, I mean, you're looking at Carlos Carrasco, guy who has not been great so far this season. Granted, he's only given up 1 earned run in his last 2 starts, but 5 walks in 4 2/3 and 3 walks in 3 innings the last 2 times out. And so you're not expecting Carlos Carrasco to go deep in this game. You're not expecting Carlos Carrasco. You might look at the walks over and stuff like that. A Boston offense that's very hot and cold so far this season. They don't score a ton of runs. And Ben Lively having a bunch of strikeouts against them was certainly a bit of a surprise here. So Carrasco, who has only had 2, 6, and 3 strikeouts so far this season, might come into play depending upon what his K-prop is. And the one I'm looking at here is 4.5 with the juice to the under. So it's something you may want to consider here. But once again, 1:35 Eastern time game. So you want to check out the lineups. You want to check out the weather, make sure everything is okay in this one. But Tanner Houck sparing that bullpen means that Boston's going to have a full complement of arms in this game. And that sometimes makes it hard for a baseball team to hit. You know, you're going to see a bunch of different pitchers over 2 or 3 innings apiece. So I might lean to Boston in this sort of situation, especially if the number is short enough for me to play.
No doubt about it. And we've got one game left on the card, which you'll just get that on a 5-game card. Thursdays, they tend to be getaway days for a lot of teams, but we do have ourselves the Diamondbacks and the Giants, with Logan Webb going for the Giants at as a -165 or so favorite and a total of 8. Just how do you take a look at a game like this, knowing that Logan Webb, he does have some pretty dramatic home and road splits, and just has been pretty dominant throughout his career at home.
And the interesting thing here is this is his 5th start of the season. Remember, he did get the start against San Diego. He's faced San Diego twice. He's faced the Dodgers, and he faced the Rays here. The one thing you kind of notice with Logan Webb is he's not striking as many guys as he has in the past. 5 strikeouts in his first 2 starts, and then 3 and 4. This number is 4.5 in a bunch of different places. And here's the interesting thing. The juice is actually towards the over. And when you've got an Arizona Diamondbacks team that's actually pretty good against contact, they're only averaging 3.67 strikeouts per game against right-handed starting pitchers. So far, they've only gone over their total twice this season. Only 2 guys have gone over the 4.5. That is Luis Gill for the New York Yankees. And our guy Cal Quantrill had 6 strikeouts in 6 innings in Colorado against this Arizona team. So that's rather interesting. Here's the thing you kind of weigh. You can either take the plus price potentially on the under 4.5 strikeouts for Logan Webb, who had 3, 4, 4, and 5 last year. He kind of hung around that number in a bunch of starts against Arizona last year. Or you maybe wait for the books to flip the number to 5.5, but the juice gets a little bit insane on the under. So that's another one of the things that you kind of have to worry about when it comes to these props is, how are the books going to do it? Are they going to give you the lower number, the number that's a little tougher to hit, or are they going to give you the higher number, but they're going to make you pay a price for it?
Absolutely, and that's such a balancing act on that front. And Matt, just to have one more question for you as well, just in terms of a slate like this, where we've only got five games on the card, is this a day where you might be just preparing a little bit more for future days, trying to pick up on some other things, or how do you handle a day like this where we have just such a little action out there for baseball?
And it's a tough day because, you know, I want to see what Jack Leiter's K-prop number is. I want to see what Jameson Taillon's number is. Basically, you enter the game and basically what's going to happen is when I'm done with this interview, I'm going to kind of decide what are my numbers that I want for these K-props. And if they come out, I'm going to take them. If they don't, then I am going to sit. As you said, this season's a very long season. I've been kind of going pretty well. I've had some good numbers as of late, hitting some K-props, you know, these last couple of days. So I don't want to kind of ruin a good streak by going and forcing something on a five card slate. I feel like in every sport, and you could probably agree or disagree, every sport that has these smaller cards, the books are a little sharper because there's less games for them to have to pay attention to. There is no NBA, you know, the NHL. I don't believe there's any games in the NHL. So they have their 100% focus on this Major League Baseball slate, which means we'll get the best numbers and sometimes the toughest to beat.
But a man that does a great job of being able to decipher it all, and a man that does nice work on so many different fronts, that'd be you, Matt. I know you're very hard at work taking a look at all these props. I know that you're preparing as well for the college sports season in general, college football. And you know, it's a long ways out. I know that you do a great job on the college basketball beat as well. Let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, at MidMajorMatt on Twitter. If you ever have any questions about player props or things like that, I have my strikeout spreadsheet that I use that gives pretty accurate numbers as to how the season has gone so far, because we all have one goal. We all want to beat the books. This weekend, I might head up to Harrisonburg to go check out the JMU spring game this weekend, see how the Dukes are doing 1 year after the successful year they had, year two in the FBS. And yeah, college football, college basketball, it never stops, and certainly have to stay on top of it well before the season begins.
Absolutely. And a man that does stay on top of it and a man that does a great job is Matt Josephs, better known as MidMajor Matt. It is always great to get him on the show as he does a great job looking at baseball betting in so many different angles and doing a great job on the prop market. So big thanks to Matt for joining me on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, a short but fun slate for this Thursday. I give you guys picks and analysis on all five games as we have them on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Matt Josephs, better known as Ben Major Matt, doing a tremendous job. Take a look at this great game of baseball every single time he joins me. Feel like we get a little bit smarter as he does great work over at FTN Network, ESPN Radio out there in Richmond, and he does such a nice job looking at baseball on so many different fronts with regards to the props that he does. So big thanks to him for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this Baseball Thursday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter /X feed at @unit_41, and very simple in terms of the order that we're going to be going in. The two National League games in time order up first, and then the three American League games in time order are going to be up after that, and any changes are going to be up on my Twitter /X feed at @unit_81. So let's get things started with 9:51, 9:52 on the board. It is the Miami Marlins on the road facing off against the Chicago Cubs. Jameson Taillon goes for the Cubs, and AJ Puck is on the bump for Miami. Opening total at circa is 8. Unders -120, the overs even. With the Cubs, you're finding them between -150 to -160, anywhere between +130 to +137. That number on the Marlins. Right now, the only place that has a run line up on this game is circa, and to lay a run and a half with the Cubs, you're getting +140. That's exactly what I'm looking at. I would be willing to take pretty much anything north of +110 here with that Cubs run line, as AJ Puck is just walking the world, and that's part of the reason why I'm on the over in this ordeal as well. For AJ Puck, 14 walks and 10 and 2/3 innings. He's got a 5.60 or so ERA, and his fielding independent is a full point higher. It is very clear that this experiment with him starting should have already come to an end, but for some reason it's not, and we can fully take advantage. As for Jameson Taillon, not like he was necessarily overly sharp at the minor league level as well. Was able to get a little bit north of 11 strikeouts per 9 innings in the minor league appearances that he did make, but that said, I do have my question marks with him making his first big league start here. I don't think that he's necessarily going to give you a lot of length through just 6 1/3 innings in his 2 minor league appearances. Wasn't walking a ton of guys or anything like that, but was getting hit around quite a bit, and wouldn't be surprised if you see his velocity down a little bit as well. He's never been necessarily a massive swing and miss guy, and he gets to go up against the Miami Marlins team that, if you want a soft landing spot, here you go, because right now they've got one main power bat in Jake Berger, and right now he's dealing with a bit of an injury. Luis Arraez along Tim Anderson, they're moving the line. Both of these guys hitting between about a 265 to a 280, so That's helped them out a little bit, but Josh Bell, Asu Sanchez, Nick Gordon, Emmanuel Rivera, all hitting a 210 or lower. That has been an issue, though. Gordon, he has been able to give you three home runs, but don't have a lot of pop with this lineup. If you do look at the Baseball Savant numbers, they are doing for some positivity. They're hitting about 30 points lower than their expected batting average, but who knows when that is going to be coming in with the Chicago Cubs. The team is averaging north of 7 runs per game when they're at home. That is the top mark in the big leagues. Cody Bellinger has had his struggles this season, but was able to bust out yesterday against the Arizona Diamondbacks. You've had Michael Busch provide 6 home runs. He was on a 5 home run game streak a few days ago, so he has been tremendous as he, C.A. Suzuki, both hitting above a 300. You've been able to have the catcher spot with Miguel Amaya do relatively solid as well. He's found a way to be able to get on base. Yan Gomes has been a little bit rough to begin the season, but all in all, you take a look at this Cubs lineup. They do a nice job of being able to hit at home. Bullpen is a little bit of an issue. The Cubs are in the bottom 10 in the big leagues with regards to bullpen ERA. They saved a lot of arms yesterday with Hayden Wesneski, though, being able to give you a nice appearance. It's been a case where the likes of Luke Little, Edbert Alzolay, they've been relatively solid, but the injury to Julia Merriweather, something that you do want to take note of, and wouldn't be surprised to see the long reliever Daniel Palencia in this game, perhaps Keegan Thompson as well. And then for the Miami Marlins, this bullpen is terrible. Second worst in the big leagues with regards to ERA. They're not rested. They're not good when they are rested. Sixto Sanchez, Vladimir Gutierrez, Birch Smith, Andrew Nardi, George Soriano, all these guys are giving you well north of a 6 ERA. Like, you don't have really too many trustworthy guys in this bullpen, so I do think that that's going to lead to the Cubs having a nice offensive outburst. Here's how I told it at 8.6, I'd like the over, and with the Cubs, I'm going to be willing to lay a run and a half with that run line. 953, 954 on the betting board. The San Francisco Giants play host to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Ryan Nelson goes for the Sinks, and you've got Logan Webb on the bump for the Giants. With the Giants, you're going to be finding them anywhere between about minus 165 to minus 170 favorites, plus 142 to plus 152. That number on Arizona, 8 is the total. Under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. And to play a run and a half with the Giants, we get a plus 130. Need at least a plus 122. And that's where I'm going to be leaning towards for Logan Webb throughout his career. An ERA more than 1.2 points lower at home rather than away from home. And he has been a little bit up and down this far this season, but not due to hard contact or anything like that. His swing and miss stuff, not necessarily terrific. 17 strikeouts in 23 and two-thirds innings, has never been some sort of a strikeout artist or anything like that, and really the crux of his issues is the fact that he went up against the LA Dodgers earlier in the season, gave up 5 runs in 3 and two-thirds innings, past that in his other 3 starts, has given up either 1 or 2 runs, so I think that he's going to be fine in this spot, though. The Arizona Diamondbacks, top 10 team in the big leagues with regards to runs per game. You've got Kettle Marte of the Marte Parte, along with Lourdes Gurriel, both providing 5 home runs. Both of these guys doing a solid job moving the line. The big thing for this team is that you want to see Corbin Carroll get things going. Just 1 home run, hitting only a .225 on base percentage, has still been there, but likes of Jake McCarthy, Blaise Alexander, they've been able to do a nice job, as well as Christian Walker. But I do think that the Giants are going to start to wake up with their bats a little bit as well. You've had Michael Conforto along with Matt Chapman supply 4 home runs. Now, a lot of the power bats for the Giants haven't necessarily done a great job of being able to get on base. Chapman, Theriau Estrada both have a .275 on base this far this season. Wilmer Flores has been a little bit up and down as well, but Lamont Wade Jr., him hitting well above a .350 has been nice for the team. Orde Soler, he's been able to give you about a .350 on base. He supplied 3 home runs as well. And Jungle Lee, it feels like he's been getting a little bit robbed at the plate. He's been putting really nice contact on the ball in general, so we should see some positivity there, but I don't think we're going to see a lot of positivity for Ryan Nelson. He actually pitched significantly better on the road rather than at home last season. Last season at home, he had an ERA that was north of a .750, a sub-4 ERA when he was away from home, but for his career, .488 fielding independent, .491 ERA. He's been getting a few more swings and misses this year, but still giving up 1.3 home runs per 9 innings, 3.5 walks per 9 innings, and he's backed up by a bullpen that it's league average. It's not great. It's not terrible. Ben Jarvis has been able to come in and give you good innings. Joe Mantiply was in the game yesterday, and that's probably a little bit of a positive for the Diamondbacks because he is not good, and that means that they're not going to be using him today. I like Ryan Thompson. I like the other Nelson and Kyle Nelson, but I do think that for the Giants, getting back home, they're going to be able to put bat to ball. I do think that both of these bullpens do give up a few runs, as for the Giants, they're in the bottom 8 in terms of bullpen ERA as well. Roger Squared has been relatively solid in Taylor and Tyler Rogers, but Ryan Walker, a little bit up and down. When you look to guys like Nick Avila and company, that is not necessarily a place where you want to be, though. Camilo Duval, really good closer, and should be able to close the door on the Diamondbacks. I do think that the Giants get to Ryan Nelson. So, looking at that run line of the Giants, and semi-total at 8.2, I also like the over. 955, 956 on the card. It is the LA Angels on the road facing off against the Tampa Bay Rays, as you've got Ryan Pepiot on the bump for the Rays, and Griffin Canning is on the bump for the A's. 8.5 is the total, over is minus 115, the under is minus 105, and with the Rays, are between minus 150 to minus 155 favorites, plus 130 to plus 137, that number on the Angels. You're able to lay a run and a half and get about a plus 135 here with the Rays, and I'd be willing to take a plus 118 or higher, so I'm going to be looking at that run line for Ryan Pepiot. He's been giving up a little bit too much hard contact, but he's getting nearly 11 strikeouts per 9 innings, has been able to have some very nice showings in general. What really did jack up his numbers was that season opening start against the Texas Rangers, where he gave up 6, but since then, last 11 innings, he's given up 2 home runs, 4 runs in total in his last 2 starts, so I think that he's starting to find his groove a little bit, and Griffin Canning just is on, and I like Griffin Canning. He's able to give you some good swing and miss stuff. I feel like he's been a guy that's gotten some bad luck as well, but he's given up 5 home runs in 13 and 2/3 innings thus far this season. Was pretty much a gong show against the Boston Red Sox in that set of series. Gave up 11 runs and 4 home runs in 8 and 2/3 innings, and he's backed up by a bullpen that I'm just not very bullish on. You've got a lot of reclamation projects and just cast off relievers from other teams like Carson Fulmer, Hunter Strickland, Adam Simber, Jose Cicerano. Not necessarily something that's amazing, though. Carlos Estevez, along the bat more in the 8th and 9th innings, have been relatively solid, but the question is, can they get there for them? And for the Tampa Bay Rays, you just need a little bit more out of Yandy Diaz, Randy Arozarena. Both of these guys, 265 on base or lower, combined 3 home runs between the two of them, and it's really been nobody other than Isaac Paredes providing the power. He's got 5 home runs, a 365 on base, Jericho Abreu, Amed Rosario. They're able to move the line as well, but need a little bit more pop from what you got a season ago, so I think that is going to be massive. And for the LA Angels, it's just a case where this team is very top heavy. Logan O'Hoppe has been really good at being able to get on base. He's got a 417 on base, hitting a 340, and then Mike Trout along Taylor Ward. These are two of your top home run hitters in the big leagues. Ward, 6 home runs, 325 on base. Mr. Trout, he's hitting a 285 with 8 home runs. That leads the league. And hey, Anthony Rendon, he's starting to give you a little bit of something, but former number one overall pick Mickey Moniak, Zach Neto, Nate Chenault, Aaron Hicks, all being below the Mendoza of 200. It makes this a very top-heavy LA Angels team, and I think that that'll allow Ryan Pepiot to have quite a bit of success in this one. Now, the question is, can the Rays bullpen be able to fortify itself, as they're currently dead last in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA? I don't expect that to be the case at the end of the season. You've seen so many good performances time and time again from likes of Jason Adam, Colm Pouchet, Pete Fairbanks. Fairbanks has been a little bit off kilter thus far this season, but I fully expect these guys to be able to get back to the form that they had a season ago, as pretty much all these guys had a sub-3.5 ERA, and I do think that they're going to figure it out here. I did set my total at 8.4. I like the under, as I do think that Griffin Canning gets a little bit more online, but I do like the run line of the Tampa Bay Rays. Won't take anything north of plus 120. Now we have my DK Network Ride-A pick. This is 957, 958 on the card. The Detroit Tigers are playing us to the Walker, Texas Rangers. Jack Leiter makes his MLB debut for the Rangers, and he looks to lighter it up against the Detroit Tigers, who throw out their Kenta Maeda. This is a relative pick'em game. Both teams are anywhere between minus 105 to a minus 110. 8.5 is the total. Under is minus 115. The over is minus 105. And my write-up here is going to be on the Rangers money line. Set them at a minus 126. Now, those that listen to the podcast in the past know that I typically don't back guys making their first career start. I'm willing to make an exception for Jack Leiter, though, as he was the number 2 overall pick coming out of Vanderbilt a few seasons ago in 2021, and if you look at what he did in the PCL thus far this season, thus far, small sample size, but 377 ERA with 15.7 strikeouts to 1.9 walks per 9 innings, and if you look at a bigger sample size, the career that he's had in the minors, 1.6 strikeouts per 9 innings. Can he sometimes get hit around a little bit hard? Yes, but he gets to go up against the Tigers team that entered into the day on Wednesday with the second fewest home runs per game of any team out there in the big leagues, and for the Tigers, they just had a tough time being able to put up runs in general, averaging about 3.5 runs per contest. That is a bottom 5 mark out there in the big leagues. And for the Detroit Tigers, you just need to find guys that have just a little bit more, shall we say, consistency. Gio Urshela, Kerry Carpenter, Matt Vierling, they're all hitting at least a 290, but none of these guys are really providing pop other than Kerry Carpenter. You got Marcana, Riley Green, both giving you 3 home runs, but both of these guys are all sitting below 225. I will say their on-base percentages are both above a 350, but these two guys, Spencer Torkelson, you're able to throw in there Javi Baez, one of the biggest wastes of money in all sports, and Cole Keith. These are your top 5 players in terms of total at-bats this season. They're all hitting at 222 or lower, and you've got a Texas Rangers team that, despite the fact that the deep ball's not been working for them, thus far in 19 games this far this season, they have only been able to supply 15 home runs. They're still finding a way to be a top half of the big league's offense in terms of runs per game. Wyatt Langford is doing a good job being able to reach base. I think that he's going to bust out sooner rather than later, and then Corey Seager hasn't necessarily been giving you a lot of home runs, but he's still been very consistent, finding a way on base, hitting nearly a 300 with a 380 on base as well. Jared Walsh, after a hot start to the season, he, along with Evan Carter, have been a little bit cold, but still, I have a lot more faith in this lineup rather than the Detroit Tigers. Now, I will say this about the Tigers. Number one team in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. It's going to fall off. They're not going to be able to maintain like a 180 ERA for the entirety of the season, but got a lot of guys that are giving you great innings. Shelby Miller, Andrew Chafin, Alex Lang, Will Vest, all these guys have been very rock solid, but they've got Kenta Maeda on the bump who has a 6 ERA and a 6.58 fielding independent as he has allowed 4 home runs in 15 innings this far this season. Looked a little bit better in his most recent start against the Minnesota Twins, but he's just been in rough form in general since the back half of the 2023 season. His last 10 regular season starts, 3 plus runs surrendered in 6 of them. I think that Jack Leiter goes out there and is able to lighter it up. He's backed up by a bullpen that is about 20th in the big leagues in terms of ERA, but I do like the fact that they bring in David Robertson, Kirby Yates. I think that Jacob Lyons will be able to give the team a little bit of production as well. So my write-up pick, that is going to be on the Rangers' money line. And in terms of total, I did set mine at 8.4. I do think that Maeda is going to start to figure it out a little bit more, and I think that Leiter has himself a really nice first start. So I like the under, and my write-up, that is going to be on the Texas Rangers' money line. And we wrap things up with 959, 960 on the betting board. The Boston Red Sox play as the Cleveland Guardians. Carlos Cookie Carrasco is on the bump for Cleveland, and Brennan Bernardino is on the bump for Boston. Boston is a -125 favorite, +105 is that number on Cleveland. 9.5 is the total. The under is -115, and the over is -105. Now, with Brennan Bernardino, he is going to be the opener in this game, and you got to figure that he's going to go about two or so innings. And we've seen Brennan Bernardino in the opener's role, and he's been not bad. Like, you take a look at what he's done out of the bullpen for the Boston Red Sox since joining the team last season. He's been able to post up with Boston about a 3.05 ERA. He doesn't give up a lot of hard contact. He gets strikeouts. He's a perfect two-inning guy. And then you have to figure that Cooper Criswell from there is most likely going to be the bulk guy. As he did get a start a little bit earlier in the season for the Boston Red Sox. It was not great. It was not terrible. He went 4 innings. He did give up a home run along the way. But all in all, there is a little bit of upside there. Was in the Rays organization prior to this. And so he's been a little bit more of a pitcher contact guy. And he goes up against the Cleveland Guardians team that they don't necessarily have great power, but it's better than it was a season ago when they were dead last in the big leagues with regards to home runs. You've been able to have Josh Naylor be your main man, 4 home runs. He's been hitting at .328. It's been absolutely tremendous there, and just have a lot of guys that find a way on base for the team. Gabriel Arias along Stephen Kwan are both hitting above a .300. You've had Andrés Giménez do a solid job being able to move the line, and Jose Ramirez, he's up to 3 home runs. It's been a little bit hot and cold this season, but you can sense him picking it up for the Boston Red Sox. They are dealing with just so many injuries right now that it does hamper this lineup. Tyler O'Neill is right now day-to-day, and he has been their main masher, especially with what we've been seeing with Rafael Devers both being hurt and when he's been out there being ineffective, hitting below the Mendoza line of 200. And for O'Neill, he's already got 7 home runs thus far this season. For Boston, it's all about, can you get something out of some of these younger guys? As Jaron Duran, he's been hitting about a 300, has done a nice job finding a way to be able to move the line. And Tristan Casas, 340 on base, he's supplying 5 home runs, so he has been nice. But you've got Emmanuel Valdez, Sedine, Rafael, Willens, Abreu, guys like this, hitting below the nose line of 200. You just need a bit more there. Masataka Yoshida, .215 batting average with 1 home run. You just need a bit more there as well. For the Red Sox, bullpen has been neither great nor terrible. Justin Slayton is a nice multi-inning guy that probably should be seeing a little bit of action here. Probably don't want to part of Chase Anderson. He's able to give you length, but that's not necessarily the world's greatest length. And for the Cleveland Guardians, this has been a pretty lights-out bullpen. They're a top-5 team in terms of bullpen ERA, as you've had the likes of Tim Herron, Hunter Gaddis really have a nice second act in the bullpen. And Cade Smith, he's done a nice job being able to hold down the fort. Really, the lone guy that I don't trust is Tyler Beattie, as we all know what Emmanuel Clase is able to do. But for Carlos Cookie Carrasco, 3 starts this far hasn't been awful. He's given up 5 runs in 12 and 2/3 innings, but he's walked 9 along the way. His whip is way north of a 1.5. I think that there's massive regression coming, as last year with the New York Mets, he posted up a 6.80 ERA. He has yet to give up a home run, despite the fact that he's given up some rockets off the bat. I do think that the Red Sox are going to be able to get to him here and find a way to be able to get the job done. I did set my total at 9.7. Guardians have have done a nice job just being able to find a way on base, and I do think that the Red Sox bust out here against Carlos Cookie Carrasco. So set my line at a minus 123. When we get the dime lines out in Las Vegas, I'm pretty sure I should be able to get a minus 122 or better, which would put me on the side of the Red Sox money line. And with setting my total at 9.7, I do like the over on 9.5, and that'll wrap things up for the Thursday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways to be able to throw those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at GNN_81. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. And big thanks to Matt Josephs, better known as Made Major Matt, for joining me in the last segment, coming at you guys every single day throughout the baseball season, and that means I'm back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.